Good morning, brethren. Good to see all of you out there this morning. Welcome to our visitors. We're very happy to have you here. This is an exciting weekend. We have a wonderful celebration tomorrow, and then Winter Family Weekend's coming up, so we have many opportunities to be together with one another as a family and to enjoy each other to the fullest. Brethren, fear is an emotion that we all have had to deal with at one time or another in our life. For some, it follows them everywhere. It torments, it's painful, and it's distressing to the human spirit. People fear poverty, they fear for their safety, they fear sickness, death, and the loss of loved ones. Many have a fear of the unknown. People fear that no one will like them and that they're not good enough, and some people even fear they won't make it into the kingdom of God. Fear can paralyze us and cause us to not experience the joy that God wants us to have in the knowledge of his truths. Satan wants us to be afraid. It is one of his ways of controlling our emotions that we might question God's goodness and grace. Satan uses fear as a strategy to impact the quality of our lives in a negative way. Because fear has torment, it distresses a man, fills him with anguish, makes him restless and uneasy, and keeps him in servitude through the fear of men, of the devil, death, judgment, and the wrath to come. However, the good news is there is an enemy of fear, or a solution to one type of fear that's mentioned and described in 1 John 4, verse 18. So let's turn there. There's a few scriptures we're going to read from 1 John 4. 1 John 4. We'll start with verse 18. And this scripture tells us how to overcome a particular type of fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He who fears is not made perfect in love. So the title of the sermonette this morning is Fear, Perfect Love Casts Out Fear. I'd like to discuss how perfect love casts out fear and how to attain it. In verse 16 of 1 John, John reminds us of this. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. The boldness that is spoken of here is the conviction that if we obey God, then there is nothing to fear at the day of judgment. Boldness is the opposite of fear, and love is companion to boldness. Perfect love produces courage in the day of judgment because it will confirm our love for God and his ultimate love for us by transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. For that reason, we need not fear the consequence of sin. Now, there are two types of fear as it relates to God. The one type of fear is the one that produces high regard and veneration of God because of his love for us. This type of love leads us to have a desire to be obedient and to do good works and to honor him and to love him. This reminds us of the statement that we desire to love him because he first loved us. This fear is different from the dread that a sinner experiences at either a conscious or subconscious level because of sin. This dread of fear relates to the consequences of sin, which can take the form of punishment and even death, eternal death. Matthew Henry's commentary states that it is a sign that our love is far from perfect when our doubts, fears, and apprehensions of God are many. The Father and Jesus Christ have no fear because they've never sinned. When we are spirit beings, we will have no fear because we too will have perfect love. Today, we are striving for perfect love, but only when we are perfected will we have attained it to the degree that the Father and Jesus Christ have attained it. In the meantime, our love is immature, often inconsistent, leading us to falter in need of God's forgiveness. But fortunately for us, God has given us a process by which we can overcome that, and this process is referred to as repentance. It is through Christ's reconciling death that we can be delivered from the bondage of this fear. Let's read about this in Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 16. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 16, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. As Christians, this assurance of God's love removes in large measure the fear of death, especially eternal death. As we work towards perfection in our love, that assurance will continue to grow. The Jews have a saying. It goes like this: worthy is his portion that rules over fear. For lo, there is nothing that rules over the degree of fear but love. So love is the portion that rules over fear. Now, here are two primary ways that we can grow towards perfect love. And the first one is found in John 3, verses 16 and 17. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? While we are not asked to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters at this time, it does mean that we need to make sacrifices in the form of time, possession, resources, and services to those in need. This is the love of Christ in action. What is it that motivates or allows us to perform this type of love? Well, this is expressed eloquently in Romans 8, verses 15. Romans 8, verses 15, where it says, "The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you lie in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. As sons, the Father desires that we be like our elder brother, Jesus Christ, and have outgoing love and concern for others. This is one of the essential ways that our love will grow towards perfection. Another way for us to mature and grow towards perfection in our love for is how we love our Heavenly Father. And this is described in Deuteronomy 10, verses 12. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12, where it states the following: And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve your God with all your heart and with all your soul?" Jesus Christ mentions many times in the Bible that one of the ways that we can show love to our Father and to him is by keeping their commandments. Our Heavenly Father does not just ask us to do these things, but actually offers us the means by which we can achieve that through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows God to be in us, and this can be noted in 1 John 4, verse 12 and 13, where it says, "If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Holy Spirit." The perfect love that we obtain is not of our own doing. It is the work of God and Jesus Christ working in us. Our responsibility is to love one another in the ways we discussed earlier, and to love God because he loves us. Having said this, how do we conquer the fears mentioned at the beginning, which are different from the fear of the judgment? Well, trusting in God is the ultimate remedy for fears of any sort. We must trust that he will deliver us from all forms of apprehensions, worries, even legitimate fearful circumstances. King David was often faced with real fearful circumstances, and he shared with us how he learned to cope with them. One such place is recorded in Psalms 34, verse 4. Psalm 34, verse 4, where he states the following: "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Whatever fear or circumstance we may face that distresses us, the first thing that we must do is to seek God's assistance. By trusting him to deliver us or strengthen us, we can have boldness and confidence that he will give us what we need to cope with whatever trial or challenge we may face in this life. Let's turn to another scripture where David talks about how he coped. This one's found in Psalms 56, verses 3 and 4. Psalms 56, verse 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God's trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? We will all face fear in this life. It is part of our spiritual journey. But we will be given what we need to conquer and deliver us from these trials by putting our faith and confidence and trust in God. This is what Jesus Christ did. We remember, you know, he put his trust in the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane as he was facing what he knew was going to be a very torturous and very painful death. This is what the apostles did when they, you know, had to deal with circumstances in their lives after the resurrection of Christ. They faced many trials. And it's what Paul did as he professed to the world in his day against such great opposition, and is what we need to do in our lives as we face what lies ahead of us. I leave you with these very encouraging words found in Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand.